Paragon 7 Studios. You are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
You are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network, featuring sports talk and entertainment excellence. And now a proud member, I've been wanting to say this for a while, of the Howard University Radio Network, HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 team. I am your host, the one and only, the indomitable, the incomparable, the unequivocal, James Lewis III. And it is an absolute pleasure and privilege to be broadcasting coast to coast, globally, and of course on Lanch Day Plus, where we podcast every single segment of the show. I'm so excited to be here. It's been a long time coming. Before we get started on our first episode on Sirius XM HUR Voices, I have to start by thanking the so many people that have contributed to this show over the years, and individuals that have listened and supported. I stand on the shoulders of so many brilliant people, people much more talented than myself, that have contributed to this show, that have counseled, given me advice, my sponsors, my producers, and I'm so grateful and humbled by this opportunity to move our platform to Sirius XM, where the players play, the creme de la creme, the elite. And I'm just really excited to be here. I was raised to believe that a man's word is his bond, and I give you my word. The network, our listeners, our sponsors, we will not let you down. We're going to put together a fantastic show. We're going to bring in awesome interviews and elite talents, and I'm just fortunate to be on Sirius XM Radio, HUR Voices, with a bunch of other extremely talented and erudite individuals that I can learn from and grow with. So before we get started, I want to, every time I go to a new platform, I always want to establish some basic principles of how this show is constructed and what motivates me and what has worked with my listener base over the course of time. And there are two principles that I live by since I've been on radio. The first and foremost, I don't take sports too seriously. I don't get angry when my favorite teams lose. I don't hate. I'm an Ohio State fan. I don't really truly hate Michigan. Like I'll make fun of them on the radio. I'm not wishing anyone that went to the University of Michigan and just won a national championship, I'm not wishing them to be unsuccessful. Like I don't want JJ McCarthy to fail in the NFL. That has no value for me. There's so many other things going on that are more important than sports, your personal health, physical and mental, what's going on, whatever relationships you have with your family, your career. If you're me, you're putting a new roof on your house and getting a new refrigerator and water heater. There's so many things that are much more important. I think that we take sports too seriously. The only reason that sports exists, whether it's on a streaming platform, whether it's on cable or network television, they're broadcast to sell ads. That's the only reason that someone would spend $1 billion for the rights to broadcast SEC football is because they want to partner with Pepsi, and they want to partner with Doritos, and they want to partner with Mountain Dew, and they want to partner with all of these major consumables, sponsorships, Invesco QQQ, whatever the hot topic that's selling. That's why these platforms exist. So I don't take the outcomes too seriously. I'm not worried about if somebody misses a tackle or are they cheating for the Chiefs to go further into the playoffs because Taylor Swift is on the sidelines. Of course, in the Super Bowl, if I spent, I think it costs like $20 billion for the Super Bowl contract, for like a 15-year contract with the Super Bowl. If I spent $20 billion to broadcast the rights for the Super Bowl, I definitely would show Taylor Swift 100 times. I would show her more than the game. She's the most famous person in the world. So I don't take that type of stuff seriously. I'm not worried about if games are rigged, all of that stuff. It's a TV show. My second principle, I don't care about your politics. I don't, when I've worked a long week, I've worked 70 hours in a week at my day job and then broadcasting my show, the last thing that I want is on a Sunday morning when I do have some time and I'm going to plop down and I'm going to watch football. I'm going to watch one of my favorite teams. I'm going to go to a bar. I'm going to meet up with some friends. I'm going to have some wings, all that stuff. I'm not there to be bombarded with politics. So I don't care about your politics. I don't care if you're a Trump supporter. I don't care if you're a Biden supporter. I don't care if you are a libertarian. I don't care about your personal beliefs from a religious perspective. I don't care if you're Protestant, Catholic, agnostic, if you practice Judaism, if you are a Hindu, if you are a complete atheist. Those things don't matter to me. People's sexual orientations and their personal lives and how they live, people that are into polyamory, polygamy, those things are none of my business. That's not my concern. I think that everyone, first and foremost, I love everybody. I respect everyone's right to live their life and pursue happiness. Everyone should be safe. Everyone should have a voice. No one should be disenfranchised. And that's really what I'm about. So I think in media, people get so skewed when someone has a different opinion than theirs and has a different perspective than theirs. And we begin arguing about the things that divide us. As human beings, to me, we are all the same. If you cut all of us, we bleed red. We all love our families. We all want to have safety. We all want to maximize our Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And for those of us that have children, we want our children to have a better life than we have had. And then I think everyone, regardless of your race, background, religion, culture, group affiliation, everybody likes to sit down with people that they like and have a good meal once in a while. And those are the fundamental principles of my show. The reason that I start there is because I'm not really an identity politics type of individual, but I wanted to start my first segment on HR Voices, Sirius XM, satellite radio. I wanted to talk about really what's been the hottest topic in sports the last couple of months and give my take on it. And that's women's college basketball. I don't know about you, I spent much more time watching women's college basketball over the course of the season than men's college basketball. I was glued to the tournament, rooting for LSU, who I'm a big fan of what they're doing, rooting for Dawn Staley in South Carolina, who ultimately won the Natty. I love Caitlin Clark. And it's such a great story, right? Because you have different parts of the country and different cultures and very large school brands. I don't know if Caitlin Clark's going to transition to the WNBA branding when she suits up for the Indiana Fever. I know that they've sold out all of their games already. But I don't know if people are going to be wearing Caitlin Clark Indiana Fever t-shirts and jerseys. I hope that they do. But it was fantastic watching this drama unfold. You have some great players. Some people think that Caitlin is the best ever. I don't. I saw Cheryl Miller play. I saw Cheryl Swoops play. I saw Shamika Holdsclaw play. But that's neither here nor there. Caitlin Clark is definitely the GOAT of putting butts in the seats. And I've watched it. I've watched that unfold. And I watched South Carolina and their strategy. And then they have Camila Cardosa, who's legitimately 6'7 and from Brazil, and you have so many personalities and different backstories. ESPN milked the absolute hell out of it, which was smart. And ESPN's made a huge investment in the WNBA. So they're going to use the college system as a feeder system for the WNBA, which they've made an investment in. And I hope that women's basketball is reaching the precipice of greatness and that these young ladies can now go out and command higher salaries because they're getting larger crowds. And once again, it's a TV show. So I'm really excited about that. But I wanted to highlight something that has really bothered me. And this is my first show on the XM platform. it really bothered me. That article that the LA Times and the Washington Post, and they've retracted some of the statements, so I can't read it verbatim. It's hard to find it. They pulled it down. It really bothers me the disrespect that I saw for Angel Reese through this entire process, through her winning a national championship last year, for her being successful as an entrepreneur and a brand, a personal brand, her ability to get NIL and really breaking the glass ceiling for NIL endorsements. And it's really bothered me. If you ever go to Angel Reese when she's posted anything, the disrespectful, dishonorable, repugnant comments about her and how she looks and the racial things, people accusing her of getting pregnant multiple times and people implying that she's unintelligent and ghetto and a hood rat and all of those things. And I wanted to talk about that briefly. As an African-American man in the media and someone that has a moderate platform, I feel like it's my duty. It's my job. It's not a choice. It's a badge of honor to respect and protect African-American women. And that includes Angel Reese. That includes Sha'Carri Richardson. That includes Simone Biles. On my platform, I'm just not going to allow African-American women athletes, I'm not going to allow them to be disrespected without providing support and a voice. And I don't think any of those three people are perfect. And sometimes with this modern era of social media, you put your name out there, you get money for putting your name out there. If you have 5 million followers, you're going to make more money if you have 500,000 followers. And sometimes when you have 5 million followers on the X and on Instagram, they're going to be some really sick, corrupt cowards out there that say awful things and troll you just for sport. But this article in the LA Times that I'm referencing referred to LSU, and this is back in the Sweet 16 when LSU was about to play UCLA, and it's a local article. So you're rooting for UCLA because you're the LA Times, and your job as a beat writer for the LA Times is to support UCLA and USC because that's your job. So I get that. But they referred to Angel Reese and the LSU team, which is mostly African-American women, like 90%, other than Haley Van Lith, who got absolutely steamrolled by Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is still pulling up from the logo on Haley Van Lith. But they referred, and this is where it goes too far. It's okay if you don't like Angel Reese, if you don't like her style, she has a lot of swag. She does the short shorts with the long tight on one leg, kind of the FloJo look. You may not like that. You may not like when she won a championship that she waved other people off the court and pointed to her ring finger. You may not like that. You may not like the fact that she has an NIL deal with Mercedes and does cosmetics and all of that stuff. You may not like her. You have a right to not like her. I have friends that don't like Caitlin Clark. And unfortunately, I have friends that don't like Caitlin Clark because she's not an African-American, which is unacceptable. That woman can play. I don't care. I'll watch anyone who's really, really good at sports. I think if we've learned going off a tangent, I think we've learned that in America, if you're good and you provide a compelling television show, people will watch. But in this article, back to LA Times, they referred to Angel Reese and LSU as, quote, dirty debutantes. Now, if you Google, and this is not safe for work, if you Google dirty debutantes, there was actually a pornographic video series in, I believe, the late 80s, early 90s. This is before my time. This is back in the VHS era of pornography, where if you were to procure pornography at a Lion's Den or one of these seedy places, you're standing next to some peeping Tom that's naked in a trench coat. It's not like now, where there's access to everything on your cell phone and on your laptop. There's a video of basically low-budget porn stars taking it to the face. And that's the comparison that you make when it's African-American women. It's good versus evil. You're basically saying that Angel Reese is a porn star. You're making that connotation. And then the reader reading the LA Times, which has huge circulation, they're now, because that's one of those microaggressions, because you can't just come out and call Angel Reese certain derogatory names that are used to describe women, because you can't do that. But you make the connection 1 + 1 = 2. And you continue to devalue and dehumanize African-American women in sports. That's absolutely unacceptable. I'm calling it out. And on the court, LSU played Iowa. Iowa's the better team. Ultimately, South Carolina won the national championship. But be careful. As my first segment on this new platform, I wanted to personally draw a line in the sand. That type of hatred and energy towards our sisters that are elite athletes, that are out there getting it done, is intolerable. And we have to call out the dreck, the racism, that when an African-American woman, and like I said, I've ripped Sha'Carri. She failed a marijuana test. She's done some flamboyant things. But ultimately, I've seen people talk about Sha'Carri Richardson rooting for her to fail. How can you root for someone to fail when they're wearing the USA jersey? And this is the best sprinter that we have to represent our country. We should be encouraging her to get right physically, to get right mentally, so she can go over to Paris this summer and absolutely dominate. And I just see when it's an African-American woman that's flamboyant, that doesn't capitulate, that speaks her mind, we always take it to that person, some type of sexual demeaning behavior, that they're a low-level concubine. And I'm just not going to support that on this show. This is what we're about. Paragon 7 Studios.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Blanche J. Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
How do you do? Come on. How do you do? How do you do?
How do you do?
How do you do?
Do you need to lose a significant amount of weight? Are you fighting a serious chronic condition like hypertension or diabetes? This is Lance J here for Dr. Fabian Garcia at MedHealth Clinical Solutions. Although based in Orlando, Florida, Dr. Garcia is now working with patients all over the country via telehealth. Dr. G is a student of both autophagy and intermittent fasting. His wellness coaching helped me to go from 270 pounds down to a slim 205. That's a size 32 waist from a 40. Call 321-989-6887 or go to medhealthclinic.com to engage with their staff and book an appointment. Trust me, your body will thank you.
James Lewis.
But of course, her being the older cousin and in charge, we're back there by ourselves. She's playing with this hornet's nest. She's throwing rocks and throwing sticks into it. The bees are buzzing. They get a little frustrated, and they get a little angry, and then she would stop. Finally, she throws a stick at the hornet's nest, and the hornet's nest completely falls out of the tree.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
So Marquita beats me to the back door. Now, instead of making sure that her little cousin Jay gets in and she opens the door and makes sure that I'm out of harm's way, because we're getting chased by a nest full of angry hornets. Marquita does the exact opposite. She holds onto that door for dear life. It uses me as a human shield.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
We begin searching for ways to not only feed, not only bridge the access to food, but how can we fight disease? Quite naturally, that required, it was a must that we figure out how to get fresh produce, crisp greens, leafy greens, and fruits and herbs and vegetables directly to the front door of those families that needed it the most. And so we finally come out with a solution. And we call that Full Cart Fresh. We have teamed up with some of the greatest people in America, our American farmers. And through working with a collaborative of farmers across multiple states, we have created Full Cart Fresh. So imagine this, you're at a farm, the produce is picked and prepared, and it's boxed in a Full Cart Fresh box at the farm. And then through our shipping and logistics program, we ship directly from the farm, directly to the front door of the most vulnerable families in America. We have got families and seniors and children around the country who are hungry, and as well as hungry, are really managing and coping with serious illnesses and diseases. So come along, help us. Help Feeding Children Everywhere through our Full Cart program and the launch of our new Full Cart Fresh. Help those families in need.